Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People go.
Your life has been
out of control.
You're confused. But don't worry.
Radio show. What's going on? What's going on? Welcome back to another week of Speak Life Radio. Such a great, great, great song. That was Hezekiah Walker and Better. I feel like I'm in church. How many of you know it's going to get better? Somebody look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's going to get better. What's going on, Kia? Brother Dove and Brother Will.
We're
yet waiting on our brother Norman. He'll be here soon, but
I'm
hallelujah.
Here.
Somebody just
wait
listen.
A minute.
You already here? Oh, you know what? You know what?
Now, I don't know how I feel about that.
Hold on.
He just totally forgot about you, Elder.
I didn't,
well,
actually.
It's been real, everybody.
No. I'm going to tell you what happened. I actually put Kia's name under your number because her number starts with 42. Russian.
Oh,
that's
all right.
It's going to get
all
better.
Right.
We just
I'm
declared
here.
It was going to get better. Come on.
Yes, right. That's right.
Somebody lift those black hands and say it's going to get better. Well, I don't know. It might not get better. If we get Trump in Trump in office.
Trump
we
in
gonna
office.
Be back
it ain't
going
to be no better.
We're going to be in shackles.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
We already started. Welcome to the 1821 Speak Life Radio Show. We are here. Our topic tonight is, what does the lifestyle of a Christian look like? So we're gonna jump right in there and talk about it. If you would like to call in, please give us a call at 619-924-9859. Press the number one, pound, one of those buttons. But so
I just want to say these topics are bad for my blood pressure.
I got something for your blood pressure, brother.
What a bad for your blood pressure,
I just these topics they bad for my blood pressure and my cholesterol. They shoot them both from
Oh,
me.
Look.
Now, how you get the cholesterol involved in it?
You know, the church is so close to my heart. It's like telling the family's business.
These are the closest. The church is so close to your heart.
Yes, it is. Listen. But we're going to talk about it.
For a brief moment, yes. It's close to my heart, too, that they get on my nerves.
See, you know what? I'm going to shut up because I just don't know if this person is listening. But there should be On one part, I want to say that this should be an age limit for Facebook, because if you don't know what you're doing, people just be posting stupid stuff. But I'm not even gonna give. I'm not. Cause they just might be listening. I don't want to hurt no feelings. So, but I just feel like, or have, better yet, maybe not an age limit, but some type of a test to see if you should be on social media. How about that?
I agree.
Because some people, some people are just dumb. Lord, forgive me. We've been on this prayer, so I'm supposed to be holy and deep. But anyway, so the lifestyle of a Christian. Who wants to jump in that? Because I ain't even going to put it in no order. What does it look like? Let's ask it from this point. What should it look like, and what does it look like in today's term?
Will, are you there?
Go ahead, Reverend.
Is Will still on the line? I believe this is a Will question.
I'm still here. So what's the question again?
Silence. What does the lifestyle of a Christian look like? Now, in that lifestyle, and so let's do it this way. What does the lifestyle of a Christian look like, meaning from social life, dressing, lifestyle, all of it? How does it look? Or would it be easy to say what a Christian life is not?
Can I say this before Will answers? That statement, that question is so broad, only because you're going to have so many different people with so many different perspectives in terms of what they feel is right and what they feel is wrong. This is not going to be consistent by any means, I don't think.
No. So with that being said by my dear friend, Pastor Bishop Dr. Norman Scarce.
Please don't say bishop if any coaches are listening. I don't want them to come for the report.
Well, yeah, because they will get that report one way or another. So, what that looks like Scarce said, that is very broad, because to some folks, Christian lifestyle looks one way. Depends on if you're a millennial. They're really not seeing much of anything right now. Generation Xers and Yers and baby boomers, so many different perspectives. Like, let's just take, for instance, the young lady who lives in Atlanta. She's a teacher. They call her hashtag Teacher Bay, you know, the very curvaceous woman. Some folks would say that's not how Christians would dress. When Erica from Mary Mary had on her white body con dress, folks were all up in arms about, you know, that's not how a Christian could dress. But the reason I said earlier, when I shouted out hypocritic about the Christian lifestyle and what that looks like, is because I think most of the time, a lot of us secretly wish that we can be like the world. And I know that I'm right about it, because y'all real quiet. And it's cool. But a lot of us secretly wish that we could do the same exact thing the world does and get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why we sneak this on social media. This is why we say things, and this is why we're so judgmental. Because
so we're doing it out of hate.
I wouldn't say hate. I think we do it because
we're doing it hating
in
terms of hate.
Got you. Yeah, because we secretly want to be like the world. Sometimes the world looks like they're having way more, having so much more fun than we are, that we really wish that we can get away with, you know, wearing the bodycon dresses or going to the club and having a sip of Grey Goose and cranberry, you know, and things like that. And so we do these things, but we do them in secret.
Well, you know what?
This is why we go to, like, even if they still have it, I'm not sure they have it, but this is why we go to First Sunday things at Therapy Cafe, because we wish that we had, you know, the club experience.
Ooh, I got a whole nother feeling about those places.
Right. And so then we'll say, you know, don't get me wrong, because I went to a First Sunday thing a long time ago at the therapy, and everybody from church was there. Everybody. And, you know, it was a nice atmosphere. It was fun. But then I left. My wife and I didn't stay too long because we knew that we would wind up probably maybe one day being the topic of discussion. Even though some of the same people that we know were there, we left anyway. So I just think that a lot of the time, sometimes we really secretly have this admiration of the world. And that's all I'm going to say. Amen. God bless you. Hopefully I didn't stir the pot too bad.
No, you're good. But you know what? I'll say this. Now, I have to be honest. I wish I could freely speak my mind sometimes on Facebook like some of these people.
you already speak your mind, man.
No, Dr. Dove, no. I mean, go there.
You don't bridle your fingers or your tongue.
No. Oh, but I do because, most messages that you see, I done went over in my head 1,000 times of how to change it and how not to say it. So y'all get the clean version. But some days I just want to give that X-rated, that full, this is how I really feel. Like, you know what? but, you know, can't do that. So, Pastor Norman, you were here to say something.
I think there is a level of dissatisfaction among the church about the church. And I think that we have this false sense of success or what we think success really looks like in the church when we have it, in my opinion, completely messed up. Completely messed up. And so if even in terms of, you know, church membership, I think we have tricked ourselves into thinking that, you know, the lights are necessary and the loud music is necessary and a bunch of people are necessary to be effective or even to show some sense of success, I guess. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. Please. I wish I had some of it. However, I'm saying is we can't go after what we think success really is in terms of what we see in the world, thinking that if we don't have that in the church, then we're failures. And you know, just real quick, because I'm going to touch on this, because I have not been. I went to Therapy Cafe once almost 8 years ago, and I vowed never to go again, only because I think places like that, and some people may think I'm wrong, places like Therapy Cafe and Taste and things like this, even though they are places with this mask of a restaurant, they are clubs for Christians. They just are. And that's my opinion. And I feel uncomfortable going to these places because I don't want to be partying with the saints. I just don't. I don't want to see the praise and worship leaders up in Taste singing, you know, Mary J. Blige or singing Anita Baker. I don't care how good the music is. I think we have grayed the line so fine that there is no sense of who someone is or who someone is not. And I just think, by all means, the first thing somebody would say is, you know, don't judge me. Well, if you're my brother and sister in Christ and we in the kingdom of God, I'm supposed to, just like you're supposed to judge me. And I just think we ought to let our yeses be yeses and let our noes be noes. And I think that we have just grayed this space because we want to mix in and mingle in. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but you better be mixing and mingling and telling somebody about Jesus in the meantime. Otherwise, you have become that which we are supposed to influence, if that makes any sense.
That's great. You know, the reason for this topic, I was talking to someone, and it's been a few weeks, and we throw back and forth, and as you said, this is a broad question, but here, growing up the way I grew up in a strict apostolic church. You couldn't breathe without it being a sin. I mean, they got all up in your business and then some. So I'm not saying by no means do I want to ever be a part of a strict church like that ever again. However, I think because a lot of us were so tricked and lied to and as a means of control.
I grew up Baptist. We didn't have no rules.
Y'all didn't have no moral compass.
Oh Lord, I think well, you know. Listen, you know they're gonna be. We didn't. So.
Lord,
I'm
sorry.
Because a lot of people have tried to get away from that, where it's like now anything goes. And that's my question. Like, you know, I'm not gonna lie to you. I had fun clubbing, you know, and I didn't leave because it got boring. You know, I didn't stop because, you know, it just, I didn't have the desire. No, I stopped because, I'm being honest, I stopped because, you know, I decided to take on, I decided to answer a call. I decided to be an example. I mean, because here's the thing, you don't have to go to those places to drink. You don't have to go to those places to do what people do. Hello?
I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all there?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. And you can go, and to have fun. However, I think you know it takes a person to understand that you know what I'm in this, I'm on this walk now. I'm trying to live for Christ. I'm trying to be an example. And then I can go. And that's the thing. I think that we have a lot of people that struggle with. It's a thing of it's not so much can you go. It's more of a thing of should you be there.
Well. And I get you. I get you 100% because I grew up strictly Kojic, and there's really not much of a difference between you and I except for a couple of scriptures. But
and even those were misinterpreted some kind of way.
Come on, Doc. But if so,
I'm sorry. There I go again. I'm sorry.
No, but. But I grew up that way, and we couldn't really do nothing. Right. I couldn't hardly do nothing. My father, who was very supportive of us and when we played sports and things like that, and he was coming up and became the pastor, my father had to drive, you know, stupid stuff, like 30 minutes outside of town to take us to the beach because the pastor couldn't be seen in his swimming trunks. So, you know, it was holiness of hell in Indiana, first jurisdiction back home in Indiana. And so I think what happened is the younger generation says, I can't wait to get from up under this thumb of oppression because sometimes we can be oppressed in the church. A lot of the things like pastors not liking women who wear weave, preaching their own personal preference.
Right.
And so their personal preference becomes a sin to someone who may like weave or may need, you know, a 27 piece or a sew in. And so then how do you reconcile that thought to somebody who says, you know, the pastor is only just preaching his personal preference, but I really need, you know, something more than that. And so people get tired of being oppressed by the word or people or other people using the word of God to oppress them. So then they say, like we all say, when I get older, I'm leaving. And we've done that. We've done that. So when I get older, I dip. But I come back.
Exactly.
But you know what? From my personal standpoint, I have personal convictions that really doesn't have anything to do with whether or not the church thinks it's wrong. And maybe it's me. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm crazy. But I, if I go to a certain place where I feel like, you know, the prying eyes might be watching, if I go to a cookout or something like that to enjoy myself, I make sure that I drink out of a clear cup or a bottle,
sir.
Or have a bottle.
Well, that don't mean nothing no more.
Understand. Well, it doesn't. And I just, what I just mean is the personal conviction
no,
that
I got
have
you.
Really don't have anything
you.
To do. Really don't have anything to do
no.
with whether or not somebody did or somebody didn't tell me it was wrong. This is
right. No,
this
I,
is
but
how
you know,
normal.
I agree with. I respect that because I do understand that too. You're taking the extra mile. Not that you have to, not that somebody is sitting there, I wonder what's in his cup, but just so that you don't give the very appearance of it. You know, I get that.
But what if they only got it as red cups? So, and no bottled water.
That's Norman. This is what works for Norman. Then Norman doesn't drink that day.
Then Norman
but
gonna be thirsty
is,
at the barbecue.
Norman will be thirsty at the barbecue.
Don't you pass out, Reverend.
So, Norman, I'm going to have a cookout, and I'm going to have all red cups.
I'll probably bring my own cup. Don't invite me to
so,
a cookout
okay.
with a red cup. You know, red is the devil.
That's the devil.
Right. But red cups and red dresses. What y'all know about that? Don't you wear
red
no all red dresses. And red lipstick. Don't wear no lipstick. Ever.
Never mind.
And you better not have your elbow showing with that hood, and that
what?
Little
and your toe, and your toes out. What?
And that's why people
so
love because
little,
of that.
Let's go a little deeper. So, because we're being real nice, we're being real nice, and but
well, the last time you had viewers who accused us of giving them a license of sin.
Oh, they'll be all right. They sin it anyway. You don't need a license.
I'm just
so.
Saying.
So, what are the rules of the church? Because
depends on what church you go to,
let's,
and if you don't, it depends on what kind of leadership you're in.
I just heard that Evangelist Cherry Washington is listening to the show. We send her hello. God bless you.
Bless you.
Call in.
Traveling
like evangelist. But what's right or wrong? I mean, because I'm hearing a lot of God knows my heart. I'm hearing a lot of God's grace and mercy. I'm hearing a lot of, you know, God knew we weren't going to be perfect. And if he knew we were going to be, he knew we were going to sin. And it doesn't matter what you do, you can make it to heaven. So I'm under the impression that people
Well, listen here, Carlton Pearson.
Shots fired.
Wait a minute.
This gospel of inclusion you preaching.
Well, this is what I'm
shots
saying.
Fired.
This is what, but this is what I'm hearing. You know, listen. When I get through hearing some people talk, they have me believing if they would have me believing if I didn't know better that fornication, adultery, smoking, doing everything, anything is okay. You're going to go to heaven regardless. And let's not talk about the funerals. I mean, where the preachers, God woke me up this morning and told me that she made it in. Well, what makes you so special that God told you? Like, really?
Maybe it was that gene they woke up to.
Oh, no.
Like, y'all be lying at these
no.
funerals, putting everybody in heaven. Junebug ain't been in church since 89 Easter. And I'm not saying he didn't make it to heaven, because I don't have that right. But I also
don't
have that right to lie to the people. Listen, I'm telling y'all, y'all know they do rest in heaven, rest in peace, and he was a faithful member.
In a T-shirt with my face on it, I'm coming back, and I'm putting you out myself.
Oh, me and Will, we're better than that.
Let me just put this disclaimer out there.
We're going to have the T-shirts, the hats, and
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Well,
so,
I'm just saying, okay, answer this question. By, I guess you can't raise your hand, by how many of us were fornicating while we was in church? Saved. Uh-huh, that's what I thought. How many of us were smoking weed while we were saved? Okay,
well,
that's another one, because you know, silence is consent.
No,
well,
I didn't smoke weed.
But you probably
I
did something else.
But I didn't say I didn't smoke weed.
All right.
What
so
was
then,
what?
So
ahead,
so I'm trying to get at something. So then there was something that made it acceptable for us to participate in that type of behavior. So it wasn't.
Yeah, we didn't
know
anybody.
It don't mean that we didn't have the Holy Ghost, because remember, you know, some of us said we had the Holy Ghost when we got saved according to Acts 2 and whatever that scripture is and things like that, and, you know, Matthew 28 and whatever. So does that mean that we're any less saved because we did those things? Because if God does know our heart, you know, I'm playing the devil's advocate,
well,
you know, because God does know our heart, correct?
I got you. He does.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some
he does know our heart. So then,
so
he might. So, but then, what gives us, I guess, room to judge?
Well, here's my thing, and it's not. It was for me. I wouldn't say that it's judging, but when I was doing my stuff, saved and part time and backslid and saved and on a break and all that. See,
what
I never tried to make it. That's another story. Yeah.
Come on.
I never tried to make it. I never tried to make it right. You see what I'm saying? So it was like, and the difference in what I see is this: if I was sinning, if I was in sin, I knew it was sin, and it was just what it was, and I didn't try to give the examples. God know my heart, and God's grace, and no, I'm in sin. This is where I am right now. Pray for me. I slipped up. My bad. Or maybe I didn't slip up. I willfully did it. This is where I am. Not saying that that's okay, but what we're seeing today is people are living, doing what they want, but they're trying to make it right.
Can I say this? And this has been a personal dialogue that I've had with myself from time to time. I don't think there's ever a point where we come out of sin.
For all have.
I think we just exchange one sin for another. And I think the salvation that we receive is our process in sanctification. See,
yes, sir.
And I'm just talking about me. But there are things that we do from day to day that is outside of the will of God. And just because we're not sleeping around or partying or smoking or anything else doesn't make what we did today any less sinful than what we were actively doing when we say we were in sin. And
right.
So I think that the first thing that we have to understand is that we just trade one sin for another. But if we understood the real grace of God and understood it is that grace that he gives us day after day after day. Now, it is not an excuse to do what you want to do by any means.
Right.
However,
I believe that
grace, from day to day, we just exchange sin.
I thought it was my excuse.
I believe that grace, though, I believe that grace is there for that grace is not a license to sin. Oh, I got grace. I can
no,
just do whatever.
Not by not by any means.
But that's what people are. I think that's what people are making it to be. And this topic, you could really go on in so many different places with it, because my thing is this. How do we tell the saved from the unsaved? It used to be, well, so they thought, the way you dressed. It used to be, but it's like we're looking like them, we're sounding like them. It's like nobody wants to take a stand to be different, to come out from
Let's
London.
Let's put it this
to
way.
Let
me put it this way. When Jesus walked the earth, and the start of the church began, everybody wore the same thing. You couldn't tell the saved from the unsaved.
Come on.
Everybody.
If you're going by clothing, right?
Everybody had on the same thing. It wasn't until, of course, we got a little bit more advanced and there were a few more distinctions between what, quote unquote, saved people wore and what unsaved people didn't. So if we're going to tell the difference between the Christian and the non-Christian, then we have to be mindful of what the Bible says, and they shall know that we are Christians by our love. It's not whether or not we are set apart by who we are, but it's set apart by what we are. And so my thing is, if I walk into a place and I look like somebody that's not saved, you ought to be able to feel the love generating from my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You just ought to be able to. And I think that is where the distinction is. That is what sets us apart. I don't care what any other surface stuff that we're talking about. The love that we have one for another and for those who are not saved is what sets us apart.
And if I may interject.
Go ahead.
Well, because, Davon, you said, like, you know, years ago that you can tell the difference, and years ago.
Well, they thought.
So they thought, because I was going to say, I don't really think that even years ago that you can really tell much of a difference, because. Because
all those long dresses so came up over their head.
Exactly. So, I mean, so we spend a whole lot of time peddling dress and behavior as normal, but it really does not give a concrete definition as to what it is supposed to look like when you're saved. All we do is say, well, saved people do this and saved people do that, but then there's no solid definition. You know what I'm saying? Because we don't listen to that kind of music.
And I hear that. But here's my thing with that. Now, Pastor Norman just said, he just said that he was speaking as far as what he does. And so if we have personal convictions, well, I guess that kind of applies for that too. Because, yes, I know it's not so much of what we wear that will say we are saved or not saved. However, being saved, I still feel like that there is still, like, I don't think it's
appropriate to
have on short Daisy Dukes, short shorts, those shorts. Me personally, I don't think it's appropriate as a Christian woman. Now, wearing some shorts that are not revealing, and then you have to understand, again, I don't believe or hold true to a lot of what I came out of, but there's some stuff I feel like we shouldn't have done away with. There's just some stuff we need to go back and pick up because we're
loose.
Well,
let me clarify, because I don't want anyone to think that I'm saying you could just wear what you want to, because whether you're in the church or outside the church, clothes bring a persona to you.
They do.
So let me just be clear. I'm not saying, just for anybody who's listening who think we're giving you a license to sin again, I'm just telling you, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I just wanted to give that clarification, if that's okay.
No. Right. I just think a lot of people just really wanted to get from up under that oppressive rule of a lot of pastors and their leadership, and how they really, because I mean, some folks were really oppressed, and I do believe in being, you know, in salvation and being saved. And I do agree. I think really, you know, it is about the love that we have one for another. It really does not matter the denomination, because we've oppressed people with denominations. We've told people they're not going to heaven because based upon what they heard or how they interpreted.
Well,
scripture.
Will, everybody has to be coaching. Come on, let's be for real now.
I mean, you just ought to be. I don't see why you can't be coaching.
Well, thank you.
And make
thank
it to heaven.
Thank you very much. Thank
but,
you.
Everybody just ought to be, you know. But we have the body of Christ has been so divided. Now, I love the Church of God in Christ, but the body of Christ has been so divided, even based upon that denomination, Baptist, Apostolic, QJC, PAW, Kojic, all of these different denominations, and folks don't really know if we coming or going. And then the thing about it is, even having a personal conviction, and I'm not trying to, you know, be funny or anything, but an atheist can have personal convictions and still not subscribe to, you know, what this teaches us. So
absolutely,
there's so many different factors.
Well, the thing
that
the difference is the thing that convicts. Like, yes, we can have different convictions. The difference is what convicts you. So my personal convictions are based in what I was taught as a child.
Exactly.
And who I became.
And that's where the conviction
comes
from. Right.
Right. So you have to understand that the differences of the convictions is where the convictions come from. Yeah, I completely agree with you. Atheists can have, you know, their own personal convictions just by based off who they are. But the difference is where I got mine from.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
You got that from Southside Baptist.
Watch your stuff. He bought that from Trotwood Flea Market.
But see, I didn't think Baptist folk had convictions. That's what I was taught in the Grand Church. That Baptist folk didn't have no conviction.
That's because they didn't want you to go to the Baptist church.
Well, because y'all were smoking cigarettes in the parking lot after church.
Oh my Lord Jesus!
We should change the subject immediately.
Listen, if you are listening to the show and you have
yes,
to
and y'all
Baptist,
smoked them at home behind closed doors. So
smoked them in the car on the way to church and spray cologne.
These are not the views of the 1821 Speak Life radio show. Because everybody
yes,
on this show is apostolic.
He told us to say that.
We did. We smoked the squares at home, and we ate peppermint, and we sprayed cologne before we got to church. That's how did nobody know
coming
we were smoking squares.
Coming to church smelling like sex and cigarettes.
Right.
Oh,
my cigarettes.
God.
And
Avon cologne.
And Avon.
I will not allow you to degrade the great church of God in Christ. I won't allow it to happen.
Smelling like white diamond.
I'm talking about the apostolic church. No, you know what? Listen,
y'all can wear cologne
in
the apostolic church. Y'all could
y'all
wear
can wear cologne.
No, we could. Yeah,
we could wear cologne and then one piece of jewelry.
We couldn't even do that.
Y'all couldn't do
yeah,
that.
We couldn't.
Y'all was oppressed.
We could wear cologne.
No wonder y'all
was
throwing
cologne
everywhere. Oh,
yeah, that's better. You know what?
Help me, Holy Ghost.
Oh,
help
Jesus.
Me.
Help Jesus.
What does the lifestyle of a Christian look like? If you're
jacked
listening
up
to the show, you would like to call in. 619-924-9859. Kia's on the line, but I can't hear. What's going on, Kia? Hello.
Hi, how are you?
She did. Oh, praise the Lord.
What does a Christian look like?
To me, a Christian looks like somebody who goes to church every Sunday, somebody who is perfect, somebody who doesn't sin.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think that's Norman then. Norman, he go to church every Sunday and he don't sin.
No.
If I
could
go
not
to church every day.
Oh man. Let me who? A Christian. How would I define a Christian? According
yeah, she got her
to
Anita Baker
King
voice
James,
though.
Well, I can't sing like her, so it really don't matter. According
yeah,
to the King
don't
James Version over in Acts chapter 2, I'm not saved because I've never spoken in an unknown tongue. So that was one of the denominations y'all just talked about. No.
Hey, shots fired, boy. You're coming
right
after the apostolic church tonight, I agree.
Right. I'm not just saying that. I had a pastor's wife tell me, she said, oh, you never spoke in tongues, girl, you're not saved. I said, well, the fact that I didn't cuss you out proves that the Lord has done great things in my life.
Listen, they called that in Cody
really,
too.
That was really my response. I mean,
I don't
allow a denomination's rules and regulations to tell me who I am or identify who I am in my relationship, keyword, with the Savior.
All these vague words. All these vague.
I believe that a Christian is one whose life has been transformed, not being beat. I really do believe there is a transformation, that there is a new being, a new creation
birth.
Created in an individual. I believe that there is change. And all of y'all can put me on the front pew and set me on fire. I do not believe that one has to be baptized to be a Christian. I believe that is there is nothing wrong with professing your outward confession. However, I know plenty of people who are baptized and on their way to straight to the pits of hell on a full ride scholarship.
But just because you know people that like that doesn't mean, well, that's your opinion. That's your opinion.
You're right. So are you saying that if I'm not baptized, I'm not a Christian?
I didn't
you can be a Christian without being baptized.
And that's not
I
what
I think
I'm
you
saying.
Just won't be wet.
But I will say that I do believe that baptism is a requirement. I'm not saying that you're not
so
a Christian. That's not what I'm saying. But I will say, according to what I believe, and these are my beliefs, I do believe that baptism is a requirement.
And so this must be the good religion.
No, I just said that's what I said, according to what I believe.
And what's your last name, sir?
So it's not a religion. It's a belief. It's a belief.
I mean, let me just say this. I'm sorry. I'm just pardon my tardiness. I was tardy for the party. Please pardon me. I just believe all these rules and regulations are the reason that people will not come into any denomination.
But
I don't believe that's an excuse.
Well, hold on, this is why I say it's an excuse. It's an excuse because, and it's a sorry, sad, poor, piss excuse, because you go to work and you got rules and regulations. You go to, you have other places that you're part of and other organizations that their rules and regulations, and you abide. But here it is, and here again, I'm not saying that church should be just full of rules. However, I do feel like because we left some of the rules, we have become loose. That's just like I hate to hear, I don't go to church because there's hypocrites there. Not you. But it irritates me because it's like, okay, you work with hypocrites. You live with hypocrites. And catch you on the right day, you might be a hypocrite. So it's like I feel like people give excuses for not going to church because they don't want to go to church.
Well, let me tell
you
what I
hit the nail on the head. They don't want to go.
Right, and it has nothing to do.
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay, I have a question. Listen. I know
listen,
you were
Linda.
Born on the pew. I know you were born on the pew. But for those who were not, for those who are unchurched, let's just be real. For those who are bitter because somebody with that clergy collar has hurt them in any shape, form, or fashion, why? I think I'm going to. I understand where you're coming from, and I get all of that. But if there is one Bible, all these different denominations, how do I know which one is right and which one is wrong?
You got to try
not
them all
me.
Out. They're like a pair of shoes.
But if, it's not a buffet. You can't. What you just say?
They're like a pair of shoes. You got to try them on with one fit.
You got to try them all out.
You got to try them on. Because, like, your feet might be swole one day. So
that
size full
gospel
fit.
Didn't fit. Let me go on over here to the Pentecostal. That Pentecostal didn't fit. Let me go on over here. No.
I'm just saying. Maybe the Jehovah's
you're
Witness might
really
fit
be confused.
I'm not
imagine going one place and you were told that everybody got to come in here, no jewelry. All the women have to wear skirts down to their. Then you go over here to the Baptist and it's. Never mind. I'm not going to talk about them.
Can I answer?
You sound a little jaded. You sound a little bitter right now. But it's okay.
Can
it's
I want to say something. I want to say something.
Say it, Reverend Doctor.
Because, you know, the church is very close to my heart, and it saved my life. I don't have no problem with saying that. And so I'm extremely protective of what I consider to be the greatest entity on earth with her flaws. I think just because people have been hurt by some of man's imperfections does not necessarily mean that the laws change, period. So you said something at first, Kia, you said you don't necessarily believe that someone has to be baptized to be Christian. I believe that. I don't believe you have to be baptized to follow the principles of Christ. However,
so am I going to heaven if I'm not baptized?
Let me finish.
Ain't going. You ain't got no chance. You just ain't gonna make it.
Let me finish.
I'm
listening. And I think that we have to have that same conversation with Christ that Nicodemus did. How can I enter the kingdom of heaven? So it's not whether or not it's not about us being Christian. Anybody can be Christian. We have to do what Christ said. We have to do what Christ did. Anybody can be Christian. But if we want to get into the kingdom of heaven, we absolutely must
be born again.
And so I am unapologetic concerning that understanding, because I don't care how you get baptized, whether it's in the name of Jesus, whether it is according to the law that Jesus gave as the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost.
You just got to go down.
Whatever it is, whatever that is, according to your understanding, you have to be. And that's a non-negotiable. You have to be.
Yes.
I mean, that's different based on denomination.
And so here's the thing. So as I continue.
But what he's saying is this. Whether you go down in three, whether you go down in one.
Wait a minute. Let me finish.
Go ahead.
Let me finish, because I don't want nobody to say for me what I can say for myself. And that ain't a dig. But I just want us to understand that.
He just shot me in the side.
even with our differences, it is our differences that make us great. So, yes, there's a ton of denominations. Yes, I get that. There are people who believe one thing. There are people who believe another thing. But somebody may not believe what the Church of God in Christ is preaching. And they may find themselves in a Baptist church or an Apostolic church or a Seventh-day Adventist church where they can be effective in the world by pressing the cause of Christ. And so my case is whether you find him on Saturday, whether you find him on Sunday, whether you find him on Olive Road, whether you find him on Salem, that is – we are all members of the same body.
Well, I found him
functions.
On Third Street. Does that count too?
Baby,
was
I don't
twerking?
Care if you found him on East Main.
Wait a minute. Hold on, y'all. Hold on.
Him on East Main.
Hold on. Let's put a pin just real quick. Let's take this caller right quick.
Who called
going it? Going to the Columbus area. We got the traveling evangelist, international. Now, what's going on? This is my sister, my friend, Evangelist Washington. What's going on tonight?
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing?
Good evening. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Can y'all hear me?
Yes,
we can.
Absolutely.
You're fine.
Okay. Now, I just got into the – I asked Avon what the topic was about, and I see the topic and I hear the topic has veered just a little bit, which is cool. So where are we now? Because I cannot listen and hear y'all until I get on the line.
Well, we're trying to get back on to the highway. We off on a medium and
it was good though. I'm agreeing with everybody. I'm just find Jesus, find him and do what he does and what he did. I agree with that.
But what we are mainly talking about is the the question that I'm really posing is this: are we preaching that it's just okay to live however that, you know, according to your convictions, that no matter
That's
how
you
dress,
you
no matter
me.
Where you go, huh?
That's not what you asked me.
What are you talking about?
Let me bring y'all back to what you're telling social media. So maybe that y'all want to stay there. you're asking social media, what does the life of a Christian look like? And I've
right.
heard a few other, that happens, we know that. But is that what you brought, where are we going now with that? Is that what we're
that's
saying
what,
now?
That is the umbrella of the message, pretty much within that, where you hang out, what you do, who you talk with, who you hang with, how you dress, how you look, how you sound, all of that. Is there a paper cut, cookie cutter way of what a Christian should look, sound like, or does it fall under just basically, again, one's personal convictions? You know, because it seems like sometimes, and I'm not saying on this line, people are afraid to just say or to speak, because now we're moving in the era of we don't want to preach holiness or hell anymore, because our offerings are going to go down, our memberships are going to go down, we may not get invited
to preach or to sing in certain areas. Let me just stop you right there, because I have to input this before we go any further. I think it's important to understand that we can keep our doctrine, but to some degree we have to lose the dogma by which we teach our doctrine. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
The dogma makes it ineffective.
Absolutely.
It does.
And so
Absolutely.
We can keep our principles and what we believe and what
right.
we know to be true, but let me ask you this,
why does, but see, here's the thing, yes, old school holiness or hell was dogmatic, but why can't you still preach holiness or hell with a love and a tone, a love tone about it? See, holiness, and just because
you're
preaching holiness, that's what I'm saying. But when you hear that holiness of hell, people, oh my God, brimstone and fire. No, that doesn't always mean that, you know. But I don't hear, all I hear now is a lot of prosperity messages. You go and everybody want to prophesy, and everybody want to, I got some lead prophecies laid up and stored up that ain't came past yet that I'm waiting. Don't prophesy.
Can I tell y'all something?
Tell me.
Can I tell y'all something? I may be crucified for this, but that's okay. Jesus never told us to preach holiness. He told us to preach Him. And so
right.
I mean,
if
you're
going
to
the world, that's right.
I think where we lose track is we come up with this idea of what we think holiness is, and so it gets strayed from whoever's preaching it. And so the one constant that we can count on to be true is Jesus. Period.
Yep.
Period.
And so if we never
lose sight of that, we don't have to worry about preaching what holiness is or what holiness is not. Because if you do what Jesus does, you are automatically automatically holy.
Exactly. Because
you don't have to leave that up to interpretation.
No, because we have preached this convoluted message of what holiness is,
based upon the interpreter. But wait a minute.
So if
I'm being the savior for the people who don't even understand what we're saying, and that's fine and well, and I get that, but I just got into church. I mean, I don't know much about what Jesus did. So what do you mean when you say?
You can tell. See, here's the thing. We understand that talk because we in the family. You don't have to try to explain to a non-believer the goodness of Jesus if you're preaching it how Jesus did. To an unbeliever, preaching holiness may sound difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
telling somebody to love thy neighbor, love thy neighbor as thyself is not as difficult to understand.
Well, I also agree, Pastor, though, it has to be modeled. It just can't be taught or said. It has to be exemplified. People need
Absolutely.
To see that holiness, or like Davon said, they need to see that in your life. They don't need to see you
Absolutely.
Doing everything that they're doing, and they come off the street, and they may be a sinner, and maybe not. But holiness
must be
exemplified.
But what is holiness? what is holiness? This is will. So what is holiness? If it must be exemplified,
it's a sanctified lifestyle.
What
is
to be sanctified?
Because from the world.
The lifestyle. Okay, a lifestyle from the world.
I'm sorry.
To live
on,
a sanctified.
What did you say?
To live a lifestyle sanctified from the world. Now, that's great. And Cherry, you know I love you. You know, praise the Lord. I bless you. Bless God.
Oh,
for
no,
you.
You're fine.
But I do. What I try to get away from is a bunch of churchy explanation of what the word holiness is. So if someone was to ask me what holiness was, I really don't think that we in the Pentecostal church or in the body of Christ really truly understand holiness. I think we think that holiness is.
I understand it to the T, sir, because I do it. You don't understand it if you
but
don't do it.
But that's what you understand. I
exactly.
do,
but I'm
that's
saying
what...
it has to be. It still has to be. There's no way around it. It has to be exemplified, or you all give me a better. If I'm a sinner, I'm with Davon. If I'm a sinner, then you tell me what holiness means. If that's what you're preaching, and that's what you're saying that I must live like to be, you know, to see Christ. Because
that's what I'm saying.
Be,
because I'm like.
We can list in Corinthians 6-9 what it's not. We can list in a whole bunch of places what it's not because it's not going to the kingdom. So back
right.
to you, sir. Let me know what you think. What would you say that it is? Because you have to explain it. You just can't say, be ye holy, for I am holy. They don't know what it means.
Exactly.
So
that's the point that I was.
What's not at
that's the point that I was trying to. That's the point that
okay.
I was trying to get
okay.
at. Most of the time, because
okay.
you were saying it has to be exemplified to be modeled. And so a lot of people would just think, well, holiness is when your skirt to your ankles, which,
mm-mm.
you know, is not holy. But,
not at
most,
all.
But that's what we teach. And so, but I'm like you, it must be exemplified, and we must have a very clear definition of what holiness is.
Absolutely.
And what holiness looks like. Because, you know, to some people, in their mind, holiness looks like, you know, no makeup, no earrings, no jewelry, because that's what you were taught. Because people taught, you know, according to the,
right.
to the New
mm-hmm.
Testament, you should not have your hair adorned with braids and
braids
gold and things like
gold.
That. And
yeah.
so and people will say, well, then maybe that's holiness, and or maybe that's not holiness. So my thing is, I'm with you that we have to make sure that if we're going to tell somebody to be holy, then give a
that's
clear,
it.
Concise definition. And a model of what holiness is and what holiness isn't. And what holiness is, I mean, is sacred, but it was is love. That's the first thing beyond
it
anything
is
that we
it
have
is.
To learn how to love one another. And if we can't do that, mm-hmm. then we're not holy.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And I agree.
I said I agree with that.
So I wasn't trying to argue with you.
And that's the way, Brother Will, that we draw them. Let's go back to drawing them there first before we can teach them
right.
holiness or anything else. Let's get back to drawing them to the church because we, to me, become ineffective at how we draw, period. That's my assessment and what I see. We're nasty sometimes. We're mean. And sometimes, believe it or not,
mm-hmm.
that's equated with holiness. So I definitely understand
oh,
what
yeah.
you're saying. And I was reading – mm-hmm. 1 Peter 2:9, as far as what we are. First of all, we have to identify who we are and what we are. Before we start giving a title to anything, we have to identify that we're not like the world. We have to identify there's a whole lot of things. There's a whole lot of, when you say holiness, there's a whole lot of, to me, it's holiness, the word holiness is voluminous. So that means we definitely, I'm like you, have to show love because that's what people are lacking, believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
We can talk about dress
uh-huh.
code. We can talk about smoking, drinking, all of that. But let's get to the root of why people.
The
are
root
doing
is love.
Because it's love. So I definitely
uh-huh.
hat my hats off to you with that. I would have went there with you too. I agree with
yeah.
you.
Okay.
And we
so I wasn't. So I wasn't trying. Just so we clear, I was not trying to argue with my sister at all. I just want everybody to know that
no,
I was not.
No, my brother. No, we don't do that.
Oh,
No.
So we have thrown it out that one way of I guess is to be holy. I'm sorry, to show love. That would be a lifestyle of what that would be what a Christian looks like is showing love. But again, and I think I don't want.
Can I give y'all the power word, y'all, real quick?
Huh?
Can I give you?
What'd you say?
Can I? I don't want to interrupt. Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead.
This is the power of words. You know, another word for holiness is religiousness. But we can tell people to be holy, but we can't tell people to be religious. And so I think the issue is that we keep trying to separate religion from relationship, and it's impossible.
And you cannot.
In this world that we live in of being, you know, so set apart from religiosity, and we have all these people who want to converse about relationship. Oh, I have a relationship with God, and this is. But you can't exercise the relationship that you say you have without religion, because religion and holiness is that thing that you use to exercise what your relationship really is. Like, I can say I love, I can say I love my wife, I love my job, but if I don't exercise what that love is, then I have nothing at all. And so one thing we have to understand is that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
We just got to be mindful, is because, like I said, holiness is the same thing as religiousness. It is. It is the exercise of exhibiting your relationship with Christ. It is how you love. It is how you talk. It is how you devote yourself to God. It is how you exercise what you believe. And so if we're going to do one, we got to do the other, because they are inseparable. Mm-hmm.
So would it be safe to say that we move from religion to relationship to teaching, discipleship, training?
Well, the scripture says, you know, pure religion is undefiled.
Wow, come on.
Is what?
What I'm saying is the religion as from I'm more so using what we have turned religion into.
Okay, what do we turn it into?
What I'm saying is church has become church and being religious has become a social club. We don't go to church. Let me say this. Some don't go to church to get a word or to get something. Let's be honest. Some go to see who's going to be there, a fashion statement, to say I went, or to be able to have bragging rights, I went to church, I go to church. So our reasons and motives for going to church are not always to better ourselves, if that makes sense.
True. I mean, but that's the beginning of time.
So what church has become and where we are now, and that's the other thing where this whole thing of people, it just seems like the message that I'm hearing is it doesn't matter what you do, how you live, how you are, it's okay.
Not for me.
Well, let's talk about the purpose of the church. You'll never read anywhere where the purpose of the church was to satisfy the needs of the people.
That's right.
That's why the church was selective only for its worship towards God, period. We were supposed to take care of each other. And so we've turned the church into this, you know, this social system of welfare that, and I think we do the people of God a disservice thinking that, oh, you can come to church and you can get this and you can get that, you can get this. But everybody's coming to get something, but nobody's giving God anything.
Right.
And so I think that is where it starts. It is the understanding that when we come to worship together, we have one job, and that is to worship God and Him alone. Period.
Exactly.
Now, once when we, what we do in that place to worship him, to edify him, should empower us to help each other. Period. And so if we're going to talk about what holiness is or what does the life of a Christian look like, then we've got to understand what role we play. The life
mm-hmm.
of a Christian looks like me helping my brother and my sister who is in need, but we've become so self-serving
right.
and we've
yes.
become so selfish. Like that's how people – we could never have what they had in the 60s and the 50s when we talk about civil rights because everybody is so
mm-hmm.
selfish now. You wouldn't let
right.
your neighbor stay in your house because they lost their job and couldn't get to work because they were bus boycotting.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and
exactly.
it's just it's so much bigger.
What are you willing to sacrifice?
Than what we really see.
Nobody's exactly.
willing to
and
sacrifice
right.
anything.
Not right now because we're so busy building our own kingdoms and our own empire.
Ours.
Because
yeah.
I mean, if
yeah.
you sit down and you talk to the average most pastors. One of the main conversations you hear is, Doc, how many people did you see this weekend?
We about to take over the seat. Yeah. We about
how
to take over the seat.
How many people did you see this weekend? Doc, how many people your church sit? And so then we lose sight of what the actual mission is.
But
we
you know what, though?
We lose sight of the entire
I wanna,
mission.
I wanna
and we
hear,
look at people that
say, can I say something?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I actually, now I'm starting to agree. I believe once the body of Christ gets back to unity and no division, when we get back to the unadulterated word of God, when we get back to showing love, when we get back to caring about the needs of those in the community, that's when we will see a difference. That's when we will see change. It's not about a particular church, a particular denomination. It's about a body of believers on one mission to make the name of God famous. That's really all it's about. It's not about, well, this particular pastor wants to do it because he wants it. Once we get past the fact that it's not about a church, that it's about the body of Christ, I believe then will we see real revival, will we see unity in our community. We can't see it as long as every pastor is competing with each other. That wasn't the design. I'm quite sure that wasn't God's design. I'm almost confident it really wasn't.
Having all these pastors in these churches wasn't the design either.
Well, I mean, that's a whole other story. I mean, it's like you get a Sharks, a liquor store church, a Sharks, a liquor store JJ's. I mean, of course, we know that wasn't it. However, because
right,
I mean,
right,
it's
I
the truth.
Here, well, okay.
The black men, they, those are the pastors. The Arabs own your Sharks. The Indians own your Shell gas stations. They're on every corner. I do think it is a sad thing that the only thing that the black people can find to invest in is a church. But that's a whole other show. We're
and
just
hair
on that topic right now. Do what?
And hair. Don't leave out hair. And hair.
Well, wait a minute,
Saints.
I want
still,
them to keep investing in hair.
Well, I
yeah,
mean, but it's, never mind.
Hair.
That's a whole other show. I'm going to stay on the show
yeah.
love and the unity.
And hair.
I'm going to stay right there. I'm going to stay right there,
yeah.
the show
I'm
love and
you.
The unity.
I'm going to unify and
that,
the truth.
That other thing right now, stay right there. Show love and unity because that was not by
yeah.
There was going to be division. So I'm going to stay
no,
right
no,
there,
no,
right there.
True.
Put a pin
there
in it. I can't touch it.
Division with truth.
No, it should not be.
Well, no. What,
and I agree.
With truth.
Well, let me. No.
If my wife stopped going
unity,
to the salon, I'm going to
unity and show love.
Absolutely. I'm
unity
agreeing.
And show
I'm
love.
Totally
I'm going to stay there.
You were naming, so I just named. It wasn't meant to be.
But
a
you named
no,
Sharks,
no part
of, and she was
no,
naming if, Sharks
and
Essence and,
no,
and
Air Gold. Saying, but I think
uh-huh.
it is, I think it is a disservice to
mm-hmm.
our community that we have so many, forget it, I'm going to just say it, that we have so many churches, yet we have so many needy people who look more like us. We
well,
as the body of Christ.
That ain't just the church's
hold
fault.
Hold on. I've let everybody talk. I even put my phone on mute so I didn't interrupt anybody.
Go ahead.
So I think we as an urban body of Christ are doing a disservice to those in the community who look like us when we open up churches like they are pimp houses. That is confusion, and the Bible says God is not the author of confusion. What good are we doing our people when we open up churches in the suburbs off the bus route? How are they supposed to get there? How are we supposed to give them what we need? Better yet, the Bible tells us to go into all the world. So what if instead of Judea, Samaria, what if it was going to Hilltop, going to the Soda Baths, going to what's another project there? Where have we failed those people? They're not going to come to us. Why do I want to come to you when I don't have the proper clothes? Everybody's going to talk about me. I may not smell like you want me to smell, so you're not going to hug me. You're going to put down on me because I gave you my last four quarters in your offering plate. When do we go to them? That's
well,
all I'm
talking
about. Am I a pastor? Absolutely not. I didn't hear you.
Well,
so I might not hug
thing.
You because you might have bed bugs, but you know.
I mean, but
I
hell, even
I
in
mean,
that, God to fix that. I'm sorry, but I mean, we have to get past the
Did
fact
she say,
that
hell,
find...
God to fix that?
I'm sorry.
Where's the censorship? We don't get fined by the FCC.
Saying, but what I'm just like somebody said, that's a piss poor excuse for them not to come to the church. It's a
is that another cuss word?
No,
piss poor.
You
piss
can
poor.
Be
I
pissed
said,
off.
I said piss poor earlier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But no, I get
it's
what
like
you're saying. I understand.
Okay.
And
like
I understand.
Excuse
I understand
for them
that.
Not to come to the church. It's a piss poor excuse for us not to go into all the world. All the world don't necessarily mean them
you know what?
To our
I,
four walls.
I totally
I'm only
agree.
Going to Van
I totally agree. As much as we are trying to build our buildings and outreach and stuff. Yes, I do
so
agree.
Sick
we
and
need
tired.
To be out.
Let me say this, and I don't mean any harm.
Okay.
And I actually commend them, and I'm not racist in any way, but I am so tired of churches in the suburbs taking these school buses to pick up our urban kids. Why don't the urban churches go to our urban kids? We can't talk about. Never mind.
Because we don't have
y'all,
you know, we do caravans.
You don't
we
need
got
a
caravans.
Bus. You don't need a bus.
I just said we got caravans, so you might have like two or three cars to go through the hood.
Let me
don't
tell
have
you,
buses.
Let me tell you.
I got
let
a
me
caravan.
Tell you why it's not happening. Let me tell you why it's not happening. Because
they not gonna give no money. That's why. Okay. I'm
and not just that. It ain't. And now I'm probably. This is probably gonna. They're probably going to vote us off
get back
tonight.
On the topic.
We,
no, get back on the topic.
We,
I'm sorry.
No,
I got
no, no, no,
topic.
No.
Get
we
back
open
on
that
topic.
Door, so we got to go. I'm going to tell you why.
I'm going to shut it
it's
in your
because,
face.
Because a lot of our urban churches, walk with me, Jesus.
You walk
out about hurry. 3 to 4. We got about 3 to 4 to 5 members apiece. And instead of you going to get your lazy self up and get a job, you pimping your people to make sure to, so you can be in full-time ministry, but they
oh,
can't catch
get
you.
The,
hold
I need
hold
a
on.
Origin.
But we can't get you to do a funeral, no office hours.
Jesus.
You won't go out to the hospital to pray.
Ooh,
but yet,
yes.
You're going on five
yes.
and six
free
vacations.
Free them, brother. Free them.
You got every brand new suit there is to have custom.
Ooh,
there is.
Free them. Yes.
You got a
free
brand
them.
New.
I'm not gonna let you
truck
do it.
And car. And
I'm,
and this
I'm
hold on. But this is not every church. This is
I'm
not every
not
church.
I'm not gonna let you do it.
This is not every church. But there are a lot of these churches here. When you know your church cannot afford to take care of you, get a job. When you go into these other urban places. One, they do have more members, but in some cases, you have them are working. They're and see, here's the thing, Pastor Norman. Since you've started, I have to say, and not because of our relationship, but I totally respect your hustle. I totally respect
me too
how you
I've
grind.
That. That's what
I totally
right.
respect you know because I've seen you. With my own eyes, not what you posted on Facebook, but
that's
I've
right.
seen you cut grass. I've seen you out there. I've seen you. You've done my title for my motorcycle. I've seen you at work. you're different. But you don't have
everybody
a
like
lot
him.
Of
that's
people
right.
like that.
That's true.
And that's the
that's
problem
true.
Where you know we can't take the urban church can't take it help the community because we take care of the pastor and we can barely
can
do
I,
that.
Can I say something?
Go ahead, sir.
Now, the misconception of the urban church. Most pastors, even in the urban setting, make less than $20,000 a year, so they
right.
can't even take care. They can't even take care of themselves. My father is a pastor in the urban church. He's 73 years old, and that church
mm-hmm.
runs. They run a food pantry every day. My father still works. My father worked three jobs as a pastor, and he barely would break 30 members. So
yep.
mm-hmm.
A lot of the pastors ain't in this for money. A lot of
No,
I get what you're saying. Trust me, I heard you. I get what you're saying. So, but what we have to be mindful of is that we don't generalize and put all pastors in one group. Now, because there are
right.
some pastors out here who are running scams and running scheme, and
yes,
we,
sir.
You know, they don't last long. But then you got some, like,
ooh,
what's her name? She died, and she had a very good, very strong inner-city ministry. Wasn't real famous. Her name wasn't in lights, but she was blessing the community. What's her name? Betty Hill, Evangelist Betty Hill. But she died.
Oh, yes.
But
love
she was running service out the Wesley Center. She was running revivals all through the city of Dayton and blessing people, making sure folks' families were fed. But nobody
mm-hmm.
heard about her because she was not a household name. So then,
wow.
so what we have become personality driven. So this is the
mm-hmm.
reason why we can go to somebody's church, which will remain nameless for the sake of the innocent people that go there, and we can go there, and then they can preach these messages, and they can do certain things, and they may have three services. You know, sometimes things happen. And sure, they may have more money, it seems like. It may seem like all their members are tithing because guess what? No church in America is 100% tithing church. I don't care what nobody say. Ain't no church in America even 80% tithing church. We can break it down to probably about a 20% tithing level in all the churches because people don't believe in tithing. A lot of people don't believe in tithing. So if money were the case, then they're going to be broke. So that's why they come up with all these schemes and scams and having all these different services because they have to come up with some kind of money and have some revenue. And I understand even starting out a church and carving a church out from the ground up takes finance. I've talked with
it
other
takes
pastors.
Money. That's right. Amen.
I've talked with other pastors who have done it from the ground up, and they tell me the same thing over and over and over again. Make sure your money is together. Don't try to start a church and you don't have no money because guess what? You're going to
mm-hmm.
be working two or three jobs and you're going to be pouring back into the same people that call you pastor. You're going to be pouring back into them, the same ones who won't give when you preach a message they get on their nerves. It's going to be the same people who will protest
mm-hmm.
silently with their wallets because folks ain't going to get up and walk out, but they will protest with their wallets and their
mm-hmm.
checkbook. So if you're doing this for money, then you're in the wrong business. And most of the pastors that I have, they do this for the love of God and for the love of ministry. And money has not been their motive. Now, some people, money is their motive, and they use folk, and they come up with all kind of mess. Well, if you give according to Psalm 71 and 12, you'll get a Psalm 71 and 12 blessing. The devil does lie. We have to be good stewards over our money in order to make sure that we have money and we retain money. But that's a whole nother show in that aspect as well. So if
May
well,
I say
if,
something, please?
You go ahead.
Okay,
I want to, and all of that, this, and thank y'all for that good old, y'all make me not ever want a pastor ever in my life. God bless y'all, and keep praying for me that the Lord don't see fit for that for my life.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask before I get off of here, and this is to my brothers and sisters, can y'all take me back as an unsaved 17-year-old who knew the church all of her life, and
had a baby out of wedlock. I know there's somebody out there that may be listening. What does the life of a Christian look like? We said love, but does that mean, and this is what I'm seeing as I mentor as far as Italy, we are saying love, and that is the overall, I'm sorry, everybody's calling, excuse me, y'all. That is the overall mission, because that's who Jesus was. But when we say love, does that mean because we love that there is a lifestyle that does not meet the criteria of Christ? Do y'all understand what I'm saying or where I'm going?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because we have to show love in everything we do, and especially as Christ-like or Christian. But I'm seeing that, and I'm going to say the body, because it's not the drug dealer, because they're not professing anything, and it's not the alcoholic. But I'm seeing that the church is using love, and we're not exemplifying the lifestyle that Christ asked us to live. So can y'all take me back to how y'all would tell me that I am not to do certain things that the Bible tells me not to do?
And that's my thing right there, is I guess what I've been really is we have to, somebody has to take a stand to say, yeah,
so let me tell you
know,
now.
We love you. For instance, church, let me say it like this. I know of a church, a young lady who is very close and dear to me. She got pregnant at the age of 14, probably one of the first that we ever encountered. The pastor told her parents that they could not bring her back to church until she delivered. That right there, his license should have been taken away. That is the wrong time that you shun and push someone away.
Evangelist Cherry, let me attempt to answer your question if I can. I don't think starting out that 17-year-old girl who's had a baby out of wedlock, who is crying herself to sleep every day, I don't think there is anything starting out that we can tell her she should not be doing. I think we do her and us a disservice by starting out with telling her what she cannot do. I have a saying that the Lord gave me. As the church, we have three responsibilities in our community: to engage, to impact, and to influence. We have to engage them in a way that they will trust who we are, so that they will believe in what we say. And so if we don't, first of all, engage them in a capacity that gives them the willingness to trust who we say we are, or who we exemplify ourselves to be, then there's nothing that we can tell her not to do. And so what I would tell that young lady, or what I would show that young lady, because I wouldn't tell her anything. I would tell her that God loves her no matter what, because that's a process, because it's not going to happen overnight. I would tell her that God loves her first and foremost, and then we would show her that God loves her, and we would show her that regardless of the mistakes she made, she is still loved, which are not untruths. But until we can break that barrier, we can't tell her what she can't do, because she ain't going to listen to us. Who are we?
But do we ever at any point tell her that? Because here's the thing. We can always assume that everybody knows that fornication is a sin. But what if she didn't know? What if she really don't know?
Can I say something? Can the unwed mother?
And I'm not saying right then. And one second. And Pastor Norman, I do agree with you. At that time, we do need to show love. We need to, you know, because it's just like with even helping people. Before you can really minister to them, sometimes you have to meet their need. So I agree with you, you know, in the sense of at that time, show her love, take her in, love on her. But at what point do we, because what if she does not know and she goes out and do it again because she paid, they just loved me, but they never told me that fornication was wrong.
Yes, Kia. I think Kia wants to say
okay.
something.
Yes.
No. Pastor Norman?
I think it was probably best that we passed that because the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. And if you spend time in your word like you should, you know it's wrong. Let me tell you what happened.
No,
I can only speak for myself. No, just hold on. Just
okay.
Listen.
Go ahead.
Just listen. Let me think. The finale is 10 years old. I'm 35. So I'm going to say I was 24 years old, maybe 20. Yeah, 24. And I was teaching Sunday school, and, you know, I was dating this young guy, and I got pregnant. And at the time, I was teaching young kids. They were like 7, 8, 9, 10. So when I got pregnant, my conviction, and, you know, the conviction in me, he was all for me still teaching the kids. It was my conviction that would not allow me to continue to teach them as my stomach would eventually grow. Because I knew it was wrong because I studied what the Word of God said. I do believe there has to be a place where you hold individuals accountable and not make excuses for, and
mm-hmm.
I don't care what the sin is. I'm not saying,
sure.
And it, unwed mother is what was brought up. I am an unwed mother. I was not married when I had Kendall, nor did I marry her father at any given point. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It was my
mm-hmm.
personal conviction. I went, I said, this is a situation. I am this far along in my pregnancy. I no longer want to teach Sunday school. Not. It wasn't a matter of what I was called to do. It was at that time I needed to get some things right in my life before
uh-huh.
I could continue to stay. And these were small children.
Uh-huh.
So I do believe that it is one's personal conviction along with the teaching that they are receiving.
Uh-huh.
And it's not like he ever said anything that was condemning from the pulpit. It was my, again, my own personal conviction.
Your own
personal conviction.
Right.
I'm not going to say he was totally okay with me still teaching, but it was, I do not want you to feel like because you have, you know, it was never a thing to make me feel bad, but it was my own personal conviction that made me step down. That's what I'll say.
Well, right.
About the
and I agree with that. No, I agree with that. And the only reason why I said what I said and about us, well, you said that somebody should know better. Think about all of these different things that's been preached out here. You know, so many people are saying the word is twisted and misinterpreted. And I've heard people say even some of the most simple scriptures, oh, that don't mean that. I don't. So it is possible for somebody to believe.
Then you're not hearing from God.
Okay.
If you are not able to get understanding.
Hear what I'm saying. You have to understand there's some people that have been twisted in their mind and they don't know. And I am being there for that person who just,
I understand.
Who just may not. And I'm not saying, yeah. I would want to believe that everybody knows that sex before marriage is wrong. I mean, yeah, it's common sense. We've heard it forever and forever. But for that one, that just might not. So are we saying that we do not have that conversation at all? Or, you know, I'm not a pastor. I guess that would be the discretion. Or
this is what I will say. Don't have it after the fact. Because then that comes off as condemnation. That does not come off as a loving way. If you can obviously see I'm 6 months pregnant and you've never taught on fornication, now is not the time for you to teach on that.
Oh, no, but see, I don't think, well, no. Well, I would hope that you wouldn't have a...
Well, no, because you said if they don't know that it's wrong, right? That's
well,
what
no,
you said,
no, no,
if
but,
if they don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, but... But I would hope
so
that
don't
you,
wait until I'm 6 months pregnant to teach me that fornication is wrong. If that
well,
is what
I don't even,
you understand, what
I don't
I'm
even
saying?
Think it's No, I got you. I got you. I don't even think it's a thing of trying to suit you. It more so of, you know, I would hope that if you're going to have any conversation, the first time you saying something wouldn't be over the pulpit. I would hope that, you
I
know.
Mean, you
and,
you do have some pulpit bullies. I mean, let's just be honest. We're not going to lie.
You do. No, you do. I'm saying I would hope. I'm saying I would hope that that's not how a person would handle that. You know. So,
well, this is the last thing I'm going to say. I want it to be clear that I am not saying that I would not say anything. I am saying we can't. That's a bad opener, is what I'm saying.
No, and I totally agree with you on that. No. We definitely have to show love, and that was my thing of just trying to get clarity of, you know, how one would handle the situation, but I guess at the end of the day, what we have come up with the lifestyle of a Christian would be, number one, showing love, showing love and following Christ, you know, make sure that you are at a ministry that is teaching Christ, you know, not so much of one's opinion, but teaching Christ, and you go home and study to show yourself approved to see if what is being taught you can find it. Would you all agree?
I agree.
Yeah.
To some degree.
So, I think it was a pretty good show. I mean, you know, I don't know. Was that you, Pastor Norman, that said this was going to be a wide? Was that you?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
You know,
I definitely agree. No, man. But you know what? I love everybody that's on here because, you know, we are going to bring something different, and I definitely appreciate that. And we are waiting on, you know, Pastor Norman to bring the Real Talk segment, so we're looking forward to that. But we do want to thank you all for tuning in with us this evening, and we hope that you will take time out of your schedule again to be with us. Just remember to always, always, always speak life. Once again, thank you guys again for joining us and have a blessed day.
My pleasure.
And
good
we're
going
to leave out on Shawanda Smith, My Turn. God bless.
Them boys on the track.